Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
Hey.
Last exit to Brooklyn. Please rate and review this podcast. We're on a new podcast network, Storic Media Podcast Networks. Just launched Monday.
Yep.
Listen to us and listen to Alice Cooper's podcast.
Alice
on the
Cooper.
Same pod, yeah, we're on the same pod network as Alice Cooper.
Wow.
Do you know Alice Cooper? All right, so we have a guest. Let's get right into it. Comedian extraordinaire Mark Norman. He's been on the show in the past years ago.
Years.
I got him back. I wrestled him back.
Multiple venues, by the way. I went to Brooklyn, that place in Fort Greene. Greenpoint.
Greenpoint, yeah. And then Manhattan.
That was a hike. And then, Stuytown.
And then, well, Peter Cooper, yeah.
Sorry.
Which is the nice Stuytown. That's all right. It's been a while. I didn't expect you to remember.
Oh, I remember everything. I remember meeting your sister. She had a kid.
Do you have a very good memory? Was that just very memorable?
It was memorable. It was a great day. I'm always blown away by going into someone's apartment in New York. So
really?
I remember every apartment I've been in here.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, I used to move furniture, and the big perk of the gig was seeing the apartments, getting inside.
Was it because certain apartments were just a lot bigger and nicer, or was it just apartments in general?
Well, just being so poor in New York, first of all.
I was going to say, were you homeless for a while? You're like, wow, is this indoors?
Well, you see a million people on the street, you go, where's that guy live? How's that guy make money? What's her story? Why is she so fat? And you just finally get in their apartment, you get a glimpse into their life a little bit.
Why is she so fat? Oh, you get in her apartment. Oh, all her furniture is made of cheese.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So
nice problem.
How has your quarantine been going? You're in New York City, right?
Yeah, we've been all over. We went to my gal, her parents live in Cape Cod.
So we got
a rental car, hightailed it over there for about 2 weeks. I'm hanging out with her parents. It's tough.
Ooh. How long have you been dating her?
A couple of years.
So you've met the parents already.
Yeah, but this is pretty intimate. We're eating dinner at the table.
Oh, yeah.
We're hugging. We're really? Walking the dog. Tough. It's too.
So you guys are listening to the CDC.
Yeah.
They say, eat dinner and hug as much as possible.
We ate breakfast. We watched Cuomo. We had a prayer.
Really?
We drank together. Yeah, it's brutal.
It's Seder tonight. Yeah. Tonight's Passover, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's where Eric is.
Oh man, we're making him do the podcast, or maybe that's why he's not joining.
Yeah,
he's not devout.
He's not. So then when did you came back from Cape Cod? What, a couple weeks ago?
And you're I was stuck climbing in the walls. I couldn't get a hard on. I was her dad's walking around in the bathrobe. The mom's blowing me, so I had to get out of there.
Yeah,
wait,
yeah.
Really? Was the dad in the bathrobe a lot? Was he like a bathrobe guy?
Oh yeah.
That's always
yeah.
uncomfortable.
Was the mom blowing you a lot? That was
a joke.
Awkward.
Hand job.
Okay. But all right.
It's so suburban,
It's good you got out of there. You don't want to ruin a family.
Yeah. I've already ruined my own.
So when did you move to New York? I was trying to think when I first met you. I think it was in like 1983.
We do this every episode.
I know, but let's do it again. The last episode was last decade. So
good point. It was 88.
I think we met in 2008. God.
Yeah.
You started in New Orleans. You're from New Orleans, right?
Born and raised. Go Saints.
So they're having a hard time, right?
The city or the team?
I think you meant
both.
The city. Yeah.
They're both blowing it. They're both blowing it right now. But the city's fucked. Mm-hmm. It's like number two after New York.
Yeah. Wow. So if you have new in your name, you're fucked.
Oh, yeah. New Jersey's next.
Yeah.
I'm there right now. It is pretty bad here, actually.
It looks pretty nice.
That haircut. Sorry. Sorry, I stepped on you, Tommy.
So you started comedy in New Orleans? I think I'm asking you because I actually forgot from the last.
Yeah,
but
no.
You did. You did it for you and Sean Patton kind of started around the same
yeah.
time.
Yeah, he's about 2 years ahead of me, and he was the guy in New Orleans because that was back when comedy was there was no internet, so it was like weird. You know, it was like
right.
basements and dark and nighttime and boozy and. Freaks yeah. would come out and talk about their heroin addictions or their pedophilia addictions.
It's way different now.
Yeah. Well, now you got people actually policing no. the language. You know, now back then you could say the N-word and people would high-five you. And now right. it's like, you said Jew! Mm-hmm. Yeah. Off with his head! You know, it's very strange how much has changed. Maybe for the better, maybe for the worst. But,
yeah, what do you think of that? Do you think it's for the better or for the worse? Or?
Well, here's my thing. If you really want to get into this, because I
do want to get into it.
All right. Let me pull out some lube here because I'm about
before
to
we before we get into it. Let's stop recording.
Yeah.
So
say everything you want to say.
Here's what I just want to say about the whole can't say anything anymore. I get it. We've always had it. You know, they pulled Lenny Bruce off stage. But here's my thing. That was the police. Now it's other comics.
Yeah.
It's other comics doing, which is like what. Well, how did you get in here? Like 10 years ago, if you said, hey, you can't, we'd go, fuck you, homo, and kick you in the cunt.
Yeah.
And now right. it's, I'm yelling now. I'm scaring my neighbors. But it's
also,
just so many nerds got in that it tainted the anal.
Yeah.
Well, also, you know, when you look at the stuff that Lenny Bruce got arrested for, it was just saying things like, I don't like, he would say like bitch and they would, he would get arrested.
It was so little back then.
Cocksucker.
It's unbelievable. Like if he went to an open mic nowadays and saw what people were saying and not getting arrested and what he got arrested for. I think the main issue that a lot of people have is just like, just gets annoying how, I think you can still say things, but it's just everyone attacks anything that anyone says now. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not about justice anymore. It's about
Do you think it's just tearing them down?
I think it's an opportunity for you to look heroic. That's what it is more than actually helping anybody or stopping any language. It's actually they're saying, this is my shot to change the world and show I'm an activist and all that. So I think it's all self-serving. That's what bugs me.
Have you run into that? Like where you really?
Oh, yeah.
You've got, cause you're not really like, you never really say anything that's, I mean, you say some stuff that's maybe like a little.
Well, I've already talked
about
a mom blowing me. I've said homo. What are you kidding? That's all I talk.
Yeah. I mean, it's mainly on this podcast is when you've been very controversial.
Yeah.
So I think I think everyone got a little nervous when Shane Gillis got like, you know, they went through his podcast and he got the big SNL gig taken away. But I don't know. No one else is doing that. No one's going through the podcast archives. And
they're going.
Are they doing it? You think
so? Here's the thing. They're doing it, but they wait till you get famous and that's when they strike. They're not going to do it now. I'm nobody.
Oh, that's not true.
Oh,
but I mean, yeah, but
well,
SNL
you know I mean.
Is a big, no, it's a big
that's
stage.
A huge get.
Saying. Yeah, yeah.
That was like a national news story, and then boom, we got them. They just wait.
So wait, who is it? Who does it though? Like who goes through it? No, but I mean, like
somebody's watching right now, getting angry.
Is it just people who? Is it just regular people, or just like when they hear about Shane Gillis getting SNL, they just start going through his past to find? And is it like
what
you said to make a name for themselves?
Yes, completely. I mean, they had to do a paywall to get to that. Shane's podcast wasn't even free.
Yeah.
That's how sick it is. You got to pay him money just to pop him.
Yeah.
And they waited. It was black belt canceling. It was
that same guy, you know how on the Louis special, he thanked all his like openers or whatever, like comedians that helped him. Same guy tweeted out the other day, like he took a screenshot of that and was like, just so you guys know, like on Twitter, just so you guys know, these guys all worked with Louis C.K. in the last year. And it's like, dude.
Someone did that to get them
in trouble. The same guy that canceled Shane Gillis.
Oh, yeah. So what do you think? So did you, I'm sure you watched Louis C.K.'s newest special.
Yeah, I saw it live.
Did you love it?
I did. I thought it was really good. I thought it was some great bits. The retard bit's amazing.
Oh, that's
great. I thought it was great comedy. Yeah. And I think he made quite a pretty penny on it, if I might say so.
I would imagine. I was talking about that last episode, how many people you thought on the first day might have downloaded that and paid the $8. I mean, I did right away. So
yeah, I think most people did, and plus the lockdown. So
right,
this is gold. It's like, oh, great, we get to watch this.
Right.
And so the scandal adds to it. That makes it more fun.
I know. That's actually the thing. It kind of helped him in the end. So what do you think of the whole, I mean, like, you know, people still kind of attacking him for, because I feel like people were kind of trying to stop the comeback for a while, but
yeah.
That seems to have not be working anymore. So what do you think of that? Because now I think it's safe to kind of be behind him again. Do you agree
with
that?
I don't know. It's safer than in front of him. But it's tough because they're making lists of like people who don't care about what he did and people who do care. It's all very pick a side now. I hate it. It used to just be comedy, not comedy. Now it's good boy, bad boy, bullshit, bad person, not boy.
Right.
But
the
thing with Louis is what I don't get is look, he's a creepo, I guess. He's a sick weirdo, you know, but that's okay. You can be sick. He asked the girls, then he did it after he asked. And then people always say, but what about the women's careers? I looked them up. They're doing fine. And how much do you really care about these ladies? Because nobody knows their name. You can ask all these big people who shout and yell about it. I'm like, well, what are the women's names? They go, I don't know. Like, well, then you don't care. Right. Also, it's become this real, like, women versus men issue.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Louis, I know the guy. He loves women. Obviously, women open for him. It's like Wolf and Rachel and Lynn Coplitz and all these people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And also, I don't – it feels a very sheep thing. Like, oh, he's the guy we hate now? Fuck him. Let's kill him. Because if you look at all the Twitter, it's like, he's a rapist. It's like, well, he never raped. Well, he locked the door. He never locked the door. Well, he ruined those women's career. They worked for him. It's like, well, they never worked for him. So, like, you're just making things up that aren't even true now.
Right, right.
So now what are we doing? We're not even in reality anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you really want to get into it, Cardi B,
right?
What she did to me was way worse. That was actually illegal.
Did you see the movie Hustlers?
Yes.
So when I watched that, I was like, I was watching and I was like, wait a minute. This is like a movie that I've never heard about. I mean, it's insane. Imagine if you made a movie about that where it, because they basically, did you see it, Alex?
No, I don't even know what you're
It's
like
based on a true story, and it's basically about these strippers who weren't making money. It was like when the crash happened, and they had this idea to just drug men.
What?
And when they passed out, just take all their money.
This isn't like a fantasy. This is a real story?
No,
it was based on a true story. It was like a New York Times article. Yeah, it's basically like, well, you know, these men, like, they're such scumbags, always cheating on their wives. And, you know, they're the reason that the crash happened because, you know, kind of like the Wall Street guys. But I remember watching it. I was like, imagine if I made a movie where it was like, hey, like the three of us were like, hey, like, I'm not getting laid. Do you want to just drug women and like have sex with them? And then
exactly.
And I mean, the heroes of the movie.
That's literally that's it.
Yeah. So and that's what Cardi B did, right?
Yeah, she took their money and all that. But we have proof of this. It's like on record. Isn't that way? And she's like a star. She just did a CDC commercial like, hey, wash your hands and coronavirus. And you're like, aren't you evil? Like, if you're not evil, then Louis's not evil.
Well, she's hot. I guess because she's hot.
I think it's men, women. You're kind of allowed to do that to women or men, but if you do it to women, you're a sexual predator. I don't know. And then there's sex involved with Louis.
And what do you think of the whole I hate the whole thing of, you know, when you're a white man, it's very like, you know, white privilege. You white men. I'm sick of like you white men. I feel like it got really hard to be a white man when all this shit kind of started to go down. You know what I mean? Because there's a lot of white guys that did bad things, but
sure,
it's kind of like being like Tito Jackson, I always thought of, because it's like I'm one of the Jacksons, but he's lumped in with like, because Michael Jackson did so many horrible things. It's like, oh, you're a Jackson, so you're just like you're horrible too. Do you know what I mean? It's not the greatest analogy, but
yeah, I see where your head's at.
You're just like, I never did any of these things, but I'm lumped in because I'm a white guy, because all white guys became. Did you feel that at all? Like as a white guy, and in comedy especially,
you feel it on stage. Yeah, yeah.
It's very strange because we talk about like you shouldn't profile, you shouldn't generalize, but then it's like hashtag men are scum, which is the biggest generalization because you're like, well, what about gay guys? You're just going to lump them in too? They've never raped a woman.
Right.
Right.
Well, half the population is evil, apparently.
And then if you go, oh, so black guys, you go, well, all guys, because they get scared when you just singular, when you specify with one group. It's all very silly. And I think it's a lot of sheep mentality. I don't even blame these people. I think it's like, They just go, that's what we're doing now. Fuck it.
Yeah. And white is the, like, white men, especially, are the only, you know, race or class of people that we can't have like a self-empowerment movement without it looking horrible to everyone.
Sure,
like, we can't be like, white power, men, you know, men rule, you know, like everyone. But everyone else can do that, you know?
Yeah.
Black Lives Matter, Girls Rule, just any other ethnicity. But yeah, I can't wear a white power shirt.
No.
Anymore.
And you shouldn't. But there's also like the future is female.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's the opposite of inclusion.
Right.
You're not even counting men anymore. Or asexual or trans or whatever. That's out too if they're not fully female. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't get. There's a lot of contradictions. That's all I'm saying.
Has it affected like and has it affected your career at all? Have you had moments?
Sure. Well, I mean,
really?
Of course. I mean, look at Sam Morril, one of the greatest, one of the best joke writers we know.
He's
one of my favorite comics of all time. He's a beast. I love.
He is a beast. His last special is unbelievable.
Unbelievable. But where was it?
Yeah, I know, but it was. But that's the future of it, I think, now.
Maybe it is the future, but...
But that's because of him. Know. That's not because anyone gave him that
opportunity. Exactly. That's out of struggle. That's out of, like, survival is the future.
Which is great. Ultimately, it's going to be good for him, I think, because it cracked a million views, and that's awesome. But you can't credit anyone but himself for doing that.
Totally.
I know, but that's what's insane, because, you know... When I saw him post that about like, oh, no one would buy it, I had to do this. Like, to me, from the outside, it's kind of like what you were saying. That is unbelievable because I don't know. Sam is like, this amazing comedian. And I thought that was just kind of like universally known. It's not like he's like a nobody. I just saying from the outside, it doesn't look like he's having to ever struggle. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
I think people don't understand that. Like, you probably go through that, but people... I don't think people think that when they look at your career, you know what I mean? But and then the thing that sucks is like, you probably can't complain about it because people are like, well, fuck you, man. Like you did this and like you did that. How many times have you done like Conan?
8.
Jesus. So. Man.
But that's, that's me sending a tape in, getting it approved. Like,
yep.
It's not like, hey, you're stamped. You're in. I had to like do that every time. And I did it once
know.
A year.
That's what people don't understand that.
They don't understand that.
And like, how long does that take you though to do come up with a whole new tape to do that?
I mean, it takes a year almost. Not a year, but it takes a while to get that perfect clean 5. And it's people are like, oh, I wish I could do that. I'm like, well, you could if you did 4 sets a night for every night for the rest of your life, like I do. But you're not willing to do that. They just see that part. They don't see they see the Conan part. They don't see the work. Mm-hmm. So they just go, oh, you get everything. And you're like, what? I've seen you at a club once in my life. I've known you 10 years.
Yeah. Most comics are way too lazy for that.
Yeah. Do you think that's what it is? You just kind of outwork them?
Yes, completely. I mean, Chris Rock said that in an interview when I was 10, and I never forgot it.
Really?
Well, maybe I was 15, but I was a huge Chris Rock fan. He was like my number one. And The Bigger and Blacker Bring the Pain, those two were like 1 and 2 for me. And I read everything about the guy because I was so blown away by how funny he was. And he just said, I used to walk into comedy clubs and go, he's funnier than me, he's funnier than me, he's funnier than me, but I'll outwork all of them.
Wow.
And that was a big one.
I think I've heard that. Yeah. That's a great one.
Yeah. I remember Will Smith saying that. Like, he's not a comedian.
Comic.
But he's funny. He's pretty funny.
Sure.
But he was always someone that I remember early on I would see in interviews and he would talk about that a lot, that he would look at people and be like, that guy's better. Because I think I heard him say in an interview, he's like, I don't think I'm that talented. I think I just outwork everybody.
Right.
But it's funny to hear him say he doesn't think he's that talented. But
of course.
Do you ever find that it's the people who are the most talented that are the ones that are like, I'm not that talented?
Exact. Dave Attell.
Right.
Yeah. And then the ones who are terrible are the ones that are always like, I always kill. The worst comedians are the ones that are always like, so yeah, I killed. I'm like, really? Every time I see you, like, you never do well. Like, where are these magic rooms?
I've actually heard Tom say that to people outside Black Cat. It's hilarious.
Have I?
No, I don't know. You're a nice guy.
No, I say when they leave.
Yeah, behind their back, of course, yeah.
But yeah, no, that's interesting because it is always, I'm trying to, like, Wes Anderson I saw an interview with and he was talking about making a movie and how he thought he sucked.
Oh, really?
Where do you fit into that? Do you beat yourself? You seem to me like someone who beats yourself up a lot about what you're doing.
Beater. I'm beating it all the time. I can't even watch myself. I can't listen. Like listening to sets after, you know, you go on to like hear a new joke. Brutal.
Is that really? Like when you watch your when you watch your Conan's, what do you cringe or what do you think?
Big cringe.
Why?
I go, that was bad. I hate my voice. I hate the way I looked. Why did I make that pause? That was dumb. I'm talking too fast. The whole thing. You name it.
That's interesting because I mean I have the same thing. And do you have that, Alex?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. It's like hearing your voice for the first time, it never sounds right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is weird. There is a reason for that, though, by the way, because you perceive your voice as deeper than it is because there's a bone that vibrates when you speak, that your vocal cords vibrate. So the vibration is what you're hearing in your inner monologue. But people are actually hearing your high-pitched voice, which is what you hear for the first time on a recording back to you. So it sounds like a pitched version of your voice.
That's funny to me that you would go through that, that you still have, that you have that even now, like that you kind of are like, like do you watch yourself? When you come up with jokes a lot and you do them, are you like, I have this all the time. I feel like sometimes like, man, I have so much material and then I'll be about to do a show and I'll be like, man, have I ever written a fucking joke? I'll be like, I have no jokes.
Everybody goes through that. That's how I feel all the time.
Do you feel it? Because you're very prolific, so you do still have that, though. I don't know how because I feel like I'm always writing things, but I think what it is like I'll be write things and then I'll be like, well, these are all horrible things.
Yeah.
Do you have that?
Of course. Of course I have that, and I feel better knowing that you have that. And you got to realize each joke is like an invention. That thing came out of thin air. You had to make that joke and tweak it and turn it till it worked. People go, oh, where you got no new material. I'm like, what are you kidding? New material doesn't just appear. You got to fucking humiliate yourself, basically, to get it to work.
Yeah, you have a lot. Actually, one of the last times I saw you, I think I helped you with Punchline. I don't know if you still used it. Do you remember
that? It's working.
Are you still doing it?
Yeah, yeah.
The one about building the wall to Mexico. Who's going to build it? I'm just kidding. Oh. That's the hack joke.
Yeah, it was. The most hack premise of all time.
Do you remember like everyone was arguing about, I came up with the build the wall to Mexico joke. It's like, no, everyone had that joke. No, it was the one about Believe All Women.
Believe All Women. Yeah, that's right.
But it was like they never hear it
about something good. Or what was it?
Shit. It was something like she said something good in bed.
Yes.
And then she was like, I didn't mean you were good. And you were like, what about Believe All Women? And my thing I added was, that's only for bad things.
That was it. That was it. Yeah. And that hits.
It does.
The beauty of that joke or the key to getting it to work was I had to make it making fun of me.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's what you came in because you go as a guy, as a white guy, you go up there and go, let me talk about this Believe All Women shit. People go, oh boy, here we go. He's one of those guys.
Right.
And then you make fun of yourself and they calm down.
Right.
That's very interesting. Because who are your favorite? Because I was gonna say like Brian Regan, or do you like Brian Regan?
Sure. He's up there. I think he's one of the funniest guys, but he's not in my top three or whatever.
I feel like he was the king of or he still is the king of making the joke about himself.
Yes, and he's copied quite a bit. My laptop. Like he's the king of that, and everybody stole it.
It's a whole style.
I was rewatching. I was kind of not into comedy for a while. Then I got into it again, which was kind of good because I felt like I was starting again. So I was watching comedy again.
Yeah.
Like almost as like a student thing. And I liked him, but I never was a huge fan. And I started watching him and I realized like watching him, I was like, Gaffigan is very, I feel, influenced by him.
Yeah.
And Dane Cook, I feel like completely almost like
totally.
Like a douchey, it's like Brian Regan, but without making the joke about himself.
Yes, trying to be cool.
Yeah.
Holmes, Bill Burr. I hear a lot of it in Bill Burr. And I'm not saying they're stealing. I'm just saying influence.
This is a thing I've heard in the last few years. A lot of people are stealing you.
Yeah, a lot of people say that.
A lot now. I don't really see it because I'm so out to lunch in my own style or whatever I am. But I get messages like, hey, I'm in Philly and some guy in an open mic's doing you. And I'm like, oh, all right.
Yeah. I mean, some people I can name, I can, like, Cat Williams is someone.
Yeah, he's
the least similar guy of all
Hannah
time.
Gadsby is another one.
Ellen. Yeah.
Emo Phillips. Yeah.
This guy asked to open for me or do a guest set. And I was like, yeah, what do I care? Indian guy, chunky Indian guy, funny guy. But he goes up and he's doing me like it to a T, where the feature act was like, this is awkward. I don't know what to do here. And I'm like, yeah.
Do you think it's like the cadence or what is it? I mean, you have a very specific voice, but it's hard to like.
Well, he sounded like an Indian guy. He sounded like a hello, thank you, come again. But he had my whole cadence and my whole like, all that shit. And,
wow,
that's and his joke honest, that's, structure was similar.
That guy sounds hilarious, though.
Yeah, he was pretty good.
And when you first, I remember when I first met you. So you were like, I don't know how long you had been around, but. You were kind of like this guy who was around and like just kind of you would walk up and just say mean things.
I didn't know it was mean. I was new. I was 23.
No, you told me it later, and I actually it makes sense because I feel like I am similar to that, where like you said it was because when you'd be around people, you didn't want to look like you were like kissing people's asses. So yes, you would go the yes. other way because you didn't want people to be like, oh, this guy's like an ass. So you would go the other way of like roasting them.
Yes.
I remember like one of the first times I met you, like said this thing, and I remember turning and I was like, what? What did you just say? Like, I don't even know you.
Yeah,
do you remember
bad.
Like us having like weird. Because
totally.
Then I remember one time you came up to me and you were like, hey, are we cool? Are we cool? And I was like, yeah, I guess. You just, every time you just say insults to me.
Right. Well, I don't want to, it was a couple of things. A, I was drunk 90%
okay, yeah,
of my life.
Yeah, that's
constantly
big.
Shit-faced. I was so antisocial. I'm an introvert. I didn't know how to handle being around people. And I was a fan of yours.
Yeah,
you were on TV when I was in New Orleans.
Yeah.
That
oh,
was
yeah.
Insane.
I do remember. I know. And so now what do you think with your whole experience with everything?
Yeah.
When was a moment that you started to be like, wow, this is crazy. Like with what was happening to you. Do you know what I mean? Where you were like, I can't believe this is like going in this direction. Or did you even have expectations for it early on?
No, it was so gradual. I feel like I've put every brick on this wall. Like one by one, other people just got hands on a wall. I've been putting a brick on for 10 years, 12 years. But you know when you see the notches on the door jamb that your dad draws of your height?
Yes.
You don't sit there one day and go, man, I feel tall. It's so gradual that you don't even notice it. You're just there one day.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So like, I feel like.
Was there ever a time where you felt like, man, I don't know if I'm ready for this?
All the time. I feel like that all the time. Every time I walk out on Conan, I've done it 8 times, I still go, I don't have it. I'm fucked. Mm-hmm. And then I have to calm myself down. I have mini panic attacks probably 6 times a day, but that's why
is that
I do
true?
So much stand-up. Yeah, that's
do
why
you
I do
panic
so much stand-up
attacks?
Because mini ones, like mini panics. I wouldn't say it's a panic attack, but like freakouts. Like, oh, shit, I can't do it. And I have to go, shut up, you cunt. Just go out there, move one foot in front of the other. But
do you have that? Because I, Alex, do you? Because I am, I have insane stage fright. I hate going on stage.
That's why I do it so much. Because I'm trying to beat the fear.
Yeah. Does it work?
Yeah. The more you get up, the more it goes away. But then you go to bed, and the fear recharges. So I got to go do it again and again and again. By the fourth show, I'm less nervous.
Because Jim Gaffigan, I once interviewed him for something. He said that for the first 6-7 years of doing stand-up, he was completely terrified every time. So I always wonder that if it ever finally goes away. Because I never, even when I feel comfortable, because oddly, like I feel like, you know, people are always like, oh, you seem so aloof and like you don't give a shit. It's totally me overcompensating. My whole personality is just an overcompensation for how I am very naturally a shy person. So
yeah,
do you have that? I mean, like, are you
same? I mean, you see me out in the clubs, I'm shaking hands, I'm doing cartwheels, I'm grabbing people's asses. I don't know what to do. I'm just trying to get by until I can do my set and leave.
Wow, that's unbelievable. Yeah.
Everybody is the exact opposite you think they are.
Yeah. Especially in comedy, right? I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. The tough guy is actually crying every night.
Right.
The nervous guy is actually kind of confident deep down. I don't know. Everyone's is always putting on a show.
And do you think so? I was saying this recently that like when I first started comedy in my 20s, I was like, people were like, well, you know, there must be some reason, like, you do comedy. Like, you know, what happened to you? And I'm like, what? I'm just, like, funny. I just like being funny. And then, because I didn't know myself at all, and I didn't want to look at anything, and I was drinking a lot. And then my 40s, I was like, oh, something went off here. Like, something went wrong when I was young. Can you look to something when you were younger that – and I think for me what it was, I didn't know it at the time. I felt very unseen young.
Yes, same.
Do you think that's what – I feel like a lot of people who go into showbiz, that's really what it is.
Yeah, totally.
Did you have that? Like, were you like a shy kid and people were like didn't maybe pay you attention? That
I was 100% what it was. I was the class clown, but my parents are workaholics. They were never home. I was raised by a nanny basically who was a transvestite. In a poor black neighborhood, I got robbed all the time. Nobody cared. It just felt like I didn't exist. You know, like people would break into our house, and it wasn't like my dad would run into my room and go, "It's gonna be okay, son." You just heard the alarm go off and had to like deal with it and go back to bed. So you felt like my whole childhood was like, "I'm on my own here. I gotta figure this out."
That's traumatic.
Oh, like
laying in bed as
traumatic.
A child. I remember
I walked in on robberies.
Oh my god!
Really?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Brutal. And New Orleans is way scarier than New York.
I've heard that actually. Yeah.
Way sketchier.
And so was there a time where you were like, okay, well I have to like get attention somehow. So I'm going to like when were you like I got to do comedy? What were you funny? I know you're a class clown, but were people like, "Hey, you're really funny."
Every now and then I got that. And that felt so good. Even as like an 8-year-old, it felt so good. And I would do a backflip and crack my head open just for the laugh, you know, because the laugh was so important.
Yeah.
And I did some plays and shit like that, but nothing ever grabbed it like stand-up.
Do you ever have anything now where when you started to get the attention, you were like, I don't deserve, I don't want this.
Oh, yeah, I still have that. I still have the low self-esteem. It's all in the wiring. That's never going away.
Yeah, that's what's so weird about it, because you do, as I got older, I realized that, like, I finally had a moment. I was like, no amount of attention is gonna change anything.
No,
I'm still going to
be...
I became that guy when people were like, "You're great." I was like, "You're an idiot. You're a loser. Like, how do you like this?"
Yeah. Did you ever read Outliers, the book?
I did. Yeah.
You know how they would say like, "How come these athletes are better?" And they actually narrowed it down. It's not because these are better people or had better upbringings. It's just the fact they were born at this time and this way and da da da.
They were old. Like it was like the kid. It was like some of the hockey players are better because their birthdays were a certain time, so they were older.
Exactly.
In the class, so they were like bigger than the other people in the class.
Right. It's not supernatural. There's always some reasoning, and I think it's the same with comedy. The best comics, Dave Attell or me, you types, are just always never satisfied with ourselves, and it's cruel and a horrible way to live. But it's great for comedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we're almost sacrificing health for comedy.
It's true. And I like Letterman is another one I can look to who like always seemed like he never seemed like he thought he was very talented. He always made comments on the show of having no talent.
Right.
Which it's weird. He kind of had that mix, but I think it was overcompensating. Like he clearly like was very like self-assured and knew who he was. But at the same time, deep down, you knew he was like, I don't have anything. And I have that a lot. Do you ever? I think I don't do any. I think what it is because when I was young, I was very funny and I didn't look at it as like that's why when I started doing it, I was like, this isn't a job. Like, this is like what you get in trouble for.
Of course.
This is what I'm doing until I get a job. You know what I mean?
That's why I do 12 sets a night, because it doesn't feel like a job. You're like, what are you, crazy? Why do you work so hard? I'm like, this is nothing. I'm jumping on the subway and doing jokes. What do you?
I know, but isn't it terrifying when you get to? I mean, there's, you know, like when you do the Cellar all the time, there's got to be the pressure of like, you can't do that.
I've been doing it 7 years now. It's over.
Oh, okay. That's good.
And it goes away. That's why it'll be back after this bullshit, but it goes away pretty much.
Everyone's going to suck after this. Or out of practice, especially comedians.
At least we'll all suck together.
I know. Yeah.
Thanks,
but
God.
It'll be interesting because the curve will be different. Some people will suck for like a week.
Right.
Yeah.
And some people will... some people, I don't know, just like they get better faster. They, you know what I mean? The exponentially. I mean, I'm not explaining it well, but you know.
No, I get it. And it'll weed out a lot of people who aren't real fans or real passionate, which is nice. Get out of here.
Right. Yeah, I think there was like, obviously, I started comedy or just like actually doing stand-up 3 years ago. So I started right when everyone else started, basically. Like this, it feels like there's a new comedian every day, or like everyone has a cousin that does stand-up or something. And I think it's going to weed out people just based on like, if you were pursuing this and then like had like a bartending gig on the side, you're kind of fucked like completely. Like you have no savings, you have no paycheck now.
Yeah.
So you got to like get your life together. Like Tim Dillon says, oh, you got to move home with, you know, it's doom and gloom. You got to move home with your parents again or something. There's no more chasing your dream kind of thing, which is, you know, kind of a crazy way to look at it. But it's kind of true because like I have a day job where I'm working from home, still making a paycheck here. And then I've been balancing, you know, doing comedy every night, but then also doing the day job, which takes away from it. But also, I never looked at stand-up as like, this has to be my full-time gig kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think anyone that was really just doing stand-up and then maybe a part-time gig going like, I'm really going for it. I mean, if they haven't made it yet and don't have savings, I don't see how they're going to last.
Yeah, so it'll weed out. Yeah, I think we're about to get – when do we get kicked off of this soon?
No, you know, I was able to extend it, but, you know, we could –
Yeah, whenever you – yeah, if you need to go, I mean, I know this is annoying probably.
No, I can go to 7.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah. We usually end around an hour anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, by the way, I was frantically trying to extend this for the last 20 minutes, so sorry if I
left. Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
I couldn't tell.
I'm the producer, so I got to make
things happen. Well done.
I think Eric's trying to come in too.
Oh, okay.
Finally. Let's bring him in. Fucking – all right, he's
that's
coming.
That's good, because all we've been doing is talking shit about him for 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, Eric, can you see us?
It says he's connecting to audio. There he is.
Oh, all right, there we go.
Hey, what's up, Eric?
Hey.
Your camera's a little, can you put your mic a little closer?
We've been talking shit about you. Where you been?
I tried to sign in. It wasn't popping me in.
Oh, it wasn't popping you in? All right, all good. We're good to go.
So you guys know each other, right?
Yeah.
Oh, years.
Yeah. Are you in bed right now?
I'm in bed. This is my Zoom background. I gotta work on it.
You guys went to Hebrew camp together, right? So I just a few more things. So when did we meet? All right, I'm just kidding.
It was at Rafifi, by the way, if you really want to get down.
We did. Trying to remember what like you.
I know what I said. If you want to get into it, but
no,
I don't
let's not
you.
Get into it. You know what? I remember what you said too.
And well, I want to. All right.
I think he made a comment about me losing my hair. Is that what you? Is that what you remember?
Well, because I was too. So
I know.
Trying to commiserate.
That's what so fucking annoyed me.
Why?
You were like
why? Yeah.
Was that 10 years ago?
Well, you were like, hey, can I ask you about losing your hair? You know, like, look at my – first of all, this was like 12 years ago. Look, I have a pretty good amount of hair, so yeah.
It's hanging in pretty good. It looks more now.
I know. Well, I take things.
Oh, that's so funny.
But I remember, like, you know, I didn't know you, and you were like, hey, can I just ask you what's it like losing your hair? And I was like, what? That's your opener to like someone you don't know? And you were like, well, because, you know, it's happening to me too. And I looked at your hair and I'm like, you're not losing your hair, dude. Like, just what is the question? Like, what is the advice you want?
Well, I was a fan. I was nervous around you and I didn't want to do small talk. I didn't want to go, hey, what's your process? How do you come up with material?
Right.
So I
thought
I could do something.
Are you negging me?
A little neg.
Actually, good. Because I did remember. And remember I was like, this guy's going nowhere.
Yeah.
I don't need to be friends with him. No, but we became friends after that, right?
Yeah, it took like, about a year.
Yeah, I get being awkward in the beginning. I mean, I'm super new. Yeah.
I think it was just because I was like, I was self-conscious about it. And like, when someone, and you know, you have, you know, it's when you ever have those moments where like, it was similar to like, you buy a shirt and you're like, man, this shirt is awesome, man. I look great in this. And someone's like, man, that shirt sucks. You know, someone like shits on it and you're like, oh, I guess I got to throw this away now. I think I was like feeling good about myself. And then that happened. And
you just
like,
got a haircut.
You were also dating that hot lady.
You're gonna have to be more specific. This is a
uh-oh.
Is that the one you don't like talking about?
No, there's like barely. 9 of those.
You were a hot item back then.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I mean, you were like a man about town. You were on every show. You're on TV. You're
I know. I was banging a lot of chicks, and you know,
yeah, New York guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, hairline.
Got well, don't worry. I had my comeuppance.
Yeah, you did.
Thank you. So no, it was fine. No, it was a good time, and it was. If it's the one that I think you're thinking of,
there
was like a Louis C.K. tie.
Yes.
And actually, that was another thing. There was a thing where I think she had, you know, you would come up, and I wasn't really dating her, and you were like, "Hey, I think she's sleeping with Louis C.K." And I was like, "What?
I was trying to help you.
What? How was that going to help me, though?
Well, now you know. You can drop her like a hot potato.
Yeah.
And it was so funny because I was like, she had specifically told me that wasn't happening. And I was like, no, she's not. And then I found out it was happening.
Yeah. Well, that's why she specifically told you it wasn't.
No, but the thing is, I didn't ask her. I wasn't really dating her. It was like a random like hookup thing. And then I remember I said to you, I go, no, actually, they're not. And you were like, I don't know. I heard it. And I was just like, all right, well.
He was right.
I know, but it's like, you don't want to. I know. He was right. He was right. But sometimes you don't want to hear the truth.
I get it. We've got Erica. We're leaving Eric alone.
Yeah. Eric, how are you?
I don't want to get involved with this right now.
No, she was fine. She was fine. And it was a very, like, not a big thing, but it was just.
How was the sex?
What?
How was the sex?
I don't remember. It was fine.
Oh,
I think I finished, so that was good. I think that's what sex is. As long as you're ending, like, it was good, you know.
All right.
That's why I think it's, you know, people are like, oh, it was so. I mean, I understand there is some bad sex, you know.
Do you remember any of the details of sexual experiences from 10 years ago? I don't.
Oh yeah.
You do?
Oh yeah, I remember yours.
Yeah,
how was
it?
No, I do good. Though.
Pretty good. Decent piece.
Yeah. The sex is brutal. Right?
Was that me? That was horrible.
That's you. Yeah, that was my impression of you. My impressions of people are just basically me.
Yeah, it's usually you.
Oh, we do Tom jokes all the time. Me and Sam back and forth. We know your whole catalog.
Oh, is that right?
Oh,
yeah, Sam was. I remember I met you and Sam at the same time, and
there were guys do Chesley. He used to do you. Remember that?
I do. He did that at you guys' show, Stick or Treat. Remember when you guys had?
But he did it all the time, like on normal shows.
Oh, you mean like he wasn't doing it on purpose, or he was?
Yeah, he just was so influenced. You had a lot of shadows.
I saw that.
See?
You did? You really?
I also see it with Norman right now.
We were talking about that.
Yeah.
I mean, so I think there's a lot of comics, they don't even know they're doing you.
They don't.
Give me some names. Name some names.
Cat Williams.
I don't know. You might know a few. I don't know.
Oh, interesting.
Have you noticed that? Or you, Mark?
Not really, no.
We said the Indian guy the one time. But I, you know, what, you know what I see a lot of at open mics and stuff and just like, you know, whatever shows? A lot of the hand stuff that you do, you know, I'm Kevin Hart, that gets stolen. I've seen a couple of – not I'm Kevin Hart. They'll do I'm some other guy. I mean, that's your joke, man. Yeah. So I think that a lot of people do that. And just the hand kind of like, you know, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So who were you? So you were saying early on, Chris Rock was your guy. Is that still true? Or like who were some of your, even early on, who were like your guys? And
well,
even now,
I mean, for the earliest was Groucho. I used to love Groucho. I was obsessed with Groucho. I couldn't believe that guy existed. He was so weird and ridiculous. Yeah. I love Bill Murray. He was huge. Bill Murray was huge.
Yeah.
And then that was all before I knew about stand up. And then I found Seinfeld. And Seinfeld's almost like, it's like the bread before the meal. You're just like, oh, this is great. Like it's good for everybody likes Seinfeld.
Yeah.
So then you dig deeper and you find George Carlin. You're like, oh, geez, this is fucking wild. This guy's saying crazy shit. I love it. And then you find your Giraldos, your Hedbergs, your Louis, your Burr, your Chappelle, your Rock. You know. So yeah. That was it for me.
And weren't you like early on? Weren't you like a film guy? Didn't you want to actually get into films? Didn't you go to film school?
I did. I went to film school in New York City, and I was so bad at it.
Oh, okay.
And then I started doing stand up at night, and that was like, oh, this is what I really like. So I just blew off film school.
Ah, okay. Where'd you go to film school?
New York Film Academy in Union Square. Real racket.
Oh yeah, I walked past that place.
It's a shame.
Okay.
I knew people who worked there.
Yeah.
One guy told me it was kind of a scam.
My family started that place.
It's a piece of garbage.
I actually want to bring back to...
Isn't that their slogan?
just real fast on Groucho. You talk about Groucho, because I feel like Groucho doesn't get his due.
Yes.
Before Groucho, comedy was just like slapstick people falling downstairs. He was the first guy that would make jokes, really.
Kinda. Jokes. You and know? smart jokes.
Right, exactly.
Did he do? He did jokes like in the movies.
In the movie, but jokes, like one-liners.
Did you watch those Marx Brothers movies?
I did, because my mom was so clueless. I was like, hey, Mom, I love comedy. And she goes, I got the right thing for you. She handed me a box of fucking VHS tapes. Of Mark, you know, Animal Crackers, Duck Soup, Day at the Races. And I was like, geez, I was hoping to get some SNL or something current.
Yeah.
He handed me this black and white shit, but I watched it because I was scared to go outside with the neighborhood.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It surprisingly holds up. I mean, it's not for like 80 years. It's not bad. You know?
Do you think, you mentioned Bill Murray. Do you think like basically every male who does comedy right now, somehow it's because of Bill Murray?
Probably. What is it? I watch him now and I go, what is it I love? And I think it's the subtlety.
That's insane. You say I was watching Stripes 2 days ago.
Wow.
And I do this a lot. This is how I was when I first started stand up. I would watch comedians that I liked and I would literally be like, why is this funny?
I did the same thing.
Yeah. Nick Swartzen was one of my favorites early on.
Yeah.
He was great.
He would do nothing.
That first half hour was
unbelievable.
It's great.
Killer.
I feel like he's kind of, I mean, I know he's successful. He's super underrated. I think.
He is underrated.
He's one of those guys, he just says things and you're like, that's not a joke.
But it doesn't matter.
And Bill Murray's the same way. I watched him in Stripes and I was like, why is this so good? It is. It's this. Some people have, actually Louis C.K., he has that thing too. And it was what I said something earlier, the last podcast, that, you know, people are like, how can you watch this special? He did this thing. And it's like, well, I don't know. You can be horrible and also be great at
a thing.
I
don't get that.
So
The Pianist is a great movie.
What?
The Pianist is a great movie. It's directed by a pedophile weirdo.
Right.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So
I thought you were talking about Adrian Brody.
Yeah. Oh well, he's Tom's friend.
We were just talking shit about him.
I want to talk about him every time.
Sorry, Bronstein had something.
Go ahead.
No, because we were talking about Adrian Brody in the last podcast. Is like a theme here. So
Yeah,
but you're right. Some guys just, you know who has that currently is Rory Scovel.
Yeah.
That guy's funny.
He's got this thing where you're like, this guy's just funny, and I don't know why.
Yeah, and there's the charisma. Bill Murray was just, I don't know. It's that thing of he so knows who he is. And
and he's a loser, but he acts confident, which is always comedy.
Right.
Gold.
Yeah. He's the so does not give a shit at all what anyone's thinking. I think another thing, great with women. Like, that was another thing. He's kind of the loser, funny guy, but when he's with women in the movies, like in Stripes, he goes up and he has this, like, amazing opener with this hot woman.
Yes.
Where you're like, that is how you speak to. He goes up to the woman, he's like, excuse me, General Hansen. She's like a military police. And she's like, yeah, I'm not a general. And he's like, well, I wanted to thank you for saving my life in Vietnam. But it's just like
so charming
the guy, and I feel like that Vince Vaughn was sort of like that a little bit, because he was the funny, well, he's not nearly as good, but he was funny, but he was also like good with women, so that made him more like why people looked up to him, I think. And
totally
it was like women loved him not just for being the funny guy, but because he was like a smooth, he was like James Bond-ish almost.
Yeah. It's a good. It's like James Bond mixed with the schlub. It's a fun mix.
So,
plus he hated Chevy Chase before it was fashionable to hate Chevy Chase.
That's true.
Those guys got into it like on Saturday Night Live.
It's also funny to see how their careers are kind of like parallel, and then they split off.
Go ahead. You know who has that too? With the good is Larry David has a little of that.
You mean with the good women too? Yeah.
Well, just like the
bald, charisma.
Skinny, bald old guy. And he goes up to women and he's like, can I waste your time for a minute? Like, he has some kind of line that's funny, and he knows he's not shit, but he's right. still confident somehow.
They're like, it's like the funny guy who's figured a way to not be creepy around women.
Yes.
It's the opposite of creepy. It exudes like, what is that word?
Awareness. When
really awareness and sure of yourself. Everything I'm saying, I'm sure about it.
Yes.
You know? Yeah.
And I can take you or leave you.
I know some. You know some like young. I know young hot women who said they would fuck Larry David.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Heartbeat.
You know, heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, women love it. They do. Yeah. And I guess
he does what he wants.
He's not gonna like him, Bill Murray. They're not gonna be Me Too. You know what I mean? Like, you're never gonna hear a story of like.
Right.
I just mean you're not going to hear a story like they don't need to. You know what I mean?
I get it. Totally.
And I don't think I was aware of it young, but I do think that was part of the appeal of Bill Murray, that he was like, oh, this guy is like funny. Oh, the chicks love him. Like, yeah, that's how you do it.
Right.
And it was the same thing when I first saw Swingers with Vince Vaughn. It was very like, hey, you know, and that was different because I liked Vince Vaughn because he wasn't like a nerdy, insecure guy. He was the funniest guy, the best lines, but also he knew how to talk, you know, like women loved him. And I feel like there's a lot of funny guys that women are like, oh, he's so funny. I would never fuck him. You know what
I
mean?
Yes, yes.
So there is something to that.
Yeah, but humor helps. I mean, there are comedians we all know that have no business getting laid, and they get laid a lot.
That's
and it's
true.
Just from their act, you know?
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people went into stand-up.
Yeah, I know.
Patrice O'Neill, you know, he's this 800-pound guy.
Yeah.
Not a good-looking dude. They said he cleaned up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I discovered those old podcasts. Of
Black Phillip.
And how he talks about, you know, dealing with women, and he's so right on. It's like, have you ever listened to it? It's like.
Yeah. They're a little harsh, he's not wrong a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's what's so great about that, because he is very harsh, but he's just very honest. And,
right.
And he's right. He says it over and over. He's like, look, man, I'm a fucking overweight. I'm a fucking fat dude. I have no business with any good looking women. And
right.
But I like that attitude of he was just very unapologetic.
Yes.
Of like, this is what I am. Fuck you. Like, this is what you are.
And we are animals at the end of the day, and we act like there's not this, you know, rhyme and reason towards men and women, but there is, you know, women like power or men like to dominate or whatever the hell it is. We it's taboo to talk about, but it exists.
Did it help you with, I mean, obviously when you started doing better in comedy, that probably helped you a lot with
night and day, night and day.
Right.
So
right.
I would imagine opening for Amy Schumer kind of probably some batting practice at you a little bit.
Arenas.
Yeah, exactly.
Arenas.
Yeah.
And they can't touch her, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got the run off.
Wait, so the only thing about that, because I remember I asked Sam about that, and he was saying, because I was like, oh, you must, after the shows, when you do shows with Amy, you must meet a lot of women. He's like I do the show and then we have to go to like a fucking plane right after. So
I had it all set up.
You did?
Oh yeah, the phone.
Yeah, dude.
Okay, so that's good.
I figured his show's probably skewed more female, but not
completely. What are you, it's 99%.
Oh wow. Yeah.
And then 1% gay.
And they would, it would help, right? Because that you knew Amy Schumer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
Well, no, because I've talked to people like open for these huge stars. And I'm like, so you meet women? They're like, no, they don't want to talk to me. They only want to sleep. I'm like,
well,
what are you talking about?
Her whole act is, I'm a whore. I love fucking dudes. I love blowing
guys.
Right. So those are the girls in the audience.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's the demo.
Yeah. It's really, it couldn't be more perfect. For
how
the
long did you?
How,
I actually, I remember when, you know, it's so funny. I don't know if I should tell the story, but like, I did a show with Amy, like, this was like 2010. And I think you had just opened for her for the first time. And she was like, do you know Mark Norman? And I was like, oh, yeah. And it was like, I knew you, but it was a couple years after, like, the bald comments and stuff. And, like, yeah. I was like, yeah, no, yeah, I know him. Yeah. I was like, yeah, he's cool. Like, you know. And then she's like, you know, he made this comment to me, like, that he said that comics don't think I'm funny or something. And I was like, really? And she was like, yeah, why do you think he said that? I'm like, I think he just says things to be, like, funny. I think he thinks it's funny. And she was like, yeah, I don't know. And then it was like right after that, you became her opener. Like,
oh, weird.
For good.
See, the negging works.
Wow.
I don't know. I mean, the only reason I think it's okay to tell that story is because she's the one who told me that. So it's not a thing that. But maybe it did get her attention because, you know, I think she wasn't used to that. Like people, like someone opening for her, like someone who wasn't like kissing her ass. So that,
I guess, but now I feel guilty. Maybe I should apologize.
No, I don't want to put a riff in between you. Like I just
10 years.
I thought it was funny because when she said it, I think I remember, you know, you should probably thank me for like that continuing to happen because I think I was the one who was like, I'm just kidding. I'm like, but I was like, I think he just says things. I think he just,
well, I appreciate funny. It.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't think that's really what happened, but I do think it's funny that she even had that, like,
but that means it was on her mind. Like it was on her mind enough. She had to ask another person about it. That's terrifying.
I think it's hilarious actually.
I feel horrible.
So don't mention it to her.
You miss stand up at all?
What are you kidding? I'm climbing the walls here. I'm dying. I got no outlet. I'm becoming a civilian. I'm making dinner. I look like an idiot.
I'm hearing the banging right now. You know the banging. You hear? Are you in the city?
Yeah. West Village.
Yeah, people are banging out the windows right now.
Yeah, there's a fucking garbage people. But everybody talking about New York is the epicenter and all this shit. It's not so bad. Morale is high. I'm by the water. Everybody's jogging and throwing the football.
Yeah, I'm in Dallas, but
what?
I know, right?
I was in Hawaii actually for like 2 weeks. Yeah, and then and now I'm in Dallas, and it is funny because I look at the news and it's like, you know, every headline is like everyone, new statistic, everyone will die.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god. And then I go outside and yeah, there's people outside.
Right.
This is a story I heard. We can cut it out. I heard that your apartment had been robbed at one point.
Yeah, about a year ago.
And was that the place you're at now?
Yeah, terrified. It brought back all these childhood memories.
Oh, yeah.
Cops came, broke through the window, stole all my cash. I had about $6,000 in cash. Took it
all. Someone told me it was all your spot pay was in your drawer.
Yes, I kept it in a drawer like a fucking idiot because it looked cool to open it and stare at it. That was the only reason I kept it.
Was it in the drawer that was marked cash?
Yeah. I had a bunch of fireworks. I had some drugs. I had weed. I had a pop gun. I had cash.
You know how happy those guys must have been? They're like, holy shit.
I know, it's a crackhead jackpot.
They climbed up the fire escape? How did they?
Yeah, they got all the houses on the escape.
Wow. It's kind of terrifying.
It is. I didn't sleep for 3 days.
Oh, really? Did you like put locks on your windows or something?
I did. Yeah, I put a Nest cam in. I put the locks on. I got a lady over here. The guy walked across my bed.
Ugh.
Wow.
Wait, you weren't there, no.
No,
he's saying, you know.
I see.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was brutal, man. But they caught him.
Oh, they did?
They never catch him.
They caught him, like, 2 months later.
Oh, okay. I think last time I saw you, so you just recorded another special, right, that you're trying to sell?
Oh, yeah, it comes out in 2 weeks.
Oh, nice.
Does it really?
YouTube.
Awesome. Yeah.
Is that like public information?
All right, cool. We'll look out for
that. That's what Sam did, right?
Yes. Same model.
Oh, that's going to go really well, man.
You think?
Because people are home. Come on. It worked for Sam. You're on the same podcast.
Oh, yeah, dude.
That'll be huge. Oh, come on. It's going to be great.
Terrified.
I'll blast it. I can't wait to watch it. That's going to be awesome.
I'm sure it's great.
Where'd you tape it?
Dynasty Typewriter in L.A. It's like a cool theater. That's where Sandler shot his.
Oh, wow. The one.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The most recent one?
Yeah.
Certified Fresh or whatever? Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Wow. That's awesome.
Check it out. It's called Out to Lunch.
When did you tape that?
January. Thank God.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Under the wire.
Yeah.
That's great. Actually, this probably will help it. I would imagine. I know I do. I think it's. But this is kind of, I feel like this. If you had a thing to put out, this is like the best time to do it.
I think you're right. I mean, look at Louis. I heard he made millions.
I would imagine.
Are you plural. Really? Yeah.
Don't repeat that.
Plural. Wow.
You were in Horace and Pete, right?
Oh yeah.
So what was that like?
That was mine. That was when Louis was Louis. I mean, this was before all the scandal. It was Stephen Wright. It was DiPaolo. It was Steve Buscemi. It was Alan Alda. It was Edie Falco. It was insane. Wow.
So what the fuck was that like being on that set? Was that like surreal?
I was terrified the whole time. I mean, it was. First of all, I had to go to his house to do a table read. Ooh. And that was insane, just being at his house. You know, I was still like, this is 6 years ago.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting across from Alan Alda doing lines. I went from zero to 100 in one day.
That's what I mean, though. That must have been a moment where you were like, wow, what the fuck? Am I ready for this? You know
Not
what I mean?
Not ready, but you fake it. You just grab your balls and go through it. And
yeah.
You know it's crazy when you call your parents and they actually care? They're like, what? Alan Alda?
Yeah.
It was a mash. Yeah.
You're like, that's the whole reason I got into this, for you guys to care about something.
It's true.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I finally realized that recently. I was like, oh, I literally, everything is just to get my family to be like, oh, that's cool.
Totally, totally, 100%. But yeah, Edie Falco, I met, she was so nice. Steve Buscemi, you know, he's from Brooklyn, cool guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was a fireman, right?
Yeah, what? That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
He kind of lives in the West Village or so. I've seen him walking around here sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in this area.
Oh. Yeah, yeah.
You can't you can never miss him.
No, he's hideous.
I think Alan Alda would be the guy that, because I don't. My family loved MASH, and I grew up on MASH. So if I ever did anything with Alan Alda, I mean, so for you, was it kind of like that? Like,
it was insane because he's in a lot of Woody Allen movies, which I love, and also his whole role was he was the smarmy bartender. So he was saying racial slurs. He called me a cocksucking faggot.
Oh yeah, I remember
so
that.
It was like it was. Overload
that was,
of
that
sentences.
Was in between takes, awesome. Right?
Yeah, that was
an ad lib. Yeah, yeah. He meant it, yeah.
That was when you were blowing him, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
It's also a little bit of like an inside joke because he would, on MASH, he was like a liberal dude. And
right,
then in
right,
real life, yeah. He's super liberal.
Right.
For him to
right.
play like a racist guys, right? I guess might have been like an inside joke or something like that.
And what was interesting is they all were obsessed with Louis because he was like the cool artist.
Right.
Now, these are all actors who read scripts off a page. This guy writes his own shit. He makes his show. He makes movies. He makes stand up. So they were like obsessed with him.
Wow.
And that's cool to see how that's all flipped.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's well, you funny. Know, it's weird. Horace and Pete was the only example I could think of like a real show that was produced by one guy, not like a company or anything like that. I mean, that's really innovative. Louis doesn't get.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he gets a lot of credit, but. He just like makes shit up. He's kind of a creative genius with like businesses, you know?
Oh yeah.
That's yeah. I never really even thought of that, but I mean.
No, and like I said, even like watching that new special, I mean, it's.
Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
It's great. It's that thing of like, you know, all right, maybe this guy did horrible things, but he's still, you know, I don't know. You kind of can't. It's kind of like, if you did something horrible, but you know, you played basketball again, you wouldn't be like, yeah, I don't like his basketball anymore.
Right, right. You know yeah, the point still, the ball still goes in the hoop.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. It's like, oh, I used to like the way he scored 50 points. Now he's not good at scoring 50 points anymore.
And let's face it, there's still some great Michael Jackson songs. Like,
exactly.
Yeah, of course.
I have never had a problem separating.
Yeah, I don't understand people.
Never once. I've never heard a Michael Jackson song I like and be like, no more.
Stupid.
It's silly. It's weird because there's people who are famous now who everybody loves who have done horrible things. You just don't know about it yet.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So what's the difference, you know?
Yeah, like Mark Norman.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much for doing
thanks,
this.
Thanks, man.
Well, talk to Eric at least. Get I feel like he got a short end of the stick here.
We're going to talk to him.
Never.
Off camera.
Eric's the other co-host too.
I'm the other co-host.
Yeah, this is a three-man operate. We're good.
Yeah, this is all of us.
You don't have to feel bad.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were the guest. I got nervous.
He's a co-host who was late. Who couldn't? So don't worry about it.
I'm late for a fucking virtual meeting. That's
that's true. It's 2020.
Hey, I'm late. I'm sorry, guys. I was stuck in the sofa. There's no way to be late anymore. Or like an excuse for that. Oh, sorry, man. I.
Happy Passover.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's tonight. Oh, I forgot.
Yeah,
we're all very excited.
All right.
Okay,
well, good ep.
Thank you, Mark Norman. We'll look forward to your special.
Yeah, check out the special. 2 weeks, right?
Good luck with that. What's it called again?
Out to Lunch.
Out to Lunch. Nice. All right, perfect.
All right, thanks, gang.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Be safe.
Bye,
everyone. We go hard. We go hard. We go hard. We go hard. We go hard.
There's no fear in my eyes. What he looking at? Better look on map. Besides, me not like the eye fight. Me not think such a thing is worth a man's life. But if a man tests my style, I promise he won't like my reply. Boom, bye, bye, like Buju. I'm Kushu, I'm a Brooklyn boy. I may take some getting used to. Chain snatching ain't habit.